But I finally overcome that. And then after I got that all done, I'm working and everything appears to be going good. And I come by that pile of dirt and scoop down and get a bucket full of that dirt and make a turn. And I hear some of the terriblest noise. The whole tractor shakes. Bam, bam, bam. And that's a great big tractor. Man, I slammed on the clutch and looked back. And that great big 1,000-pound blade is setting up at an angle like this. One end in the ground, the other end way up above the ground. I thought, what in the world happened? I got out, looked back there, and one of the pins had come out. And I'd lost one of the pins. It had bent everything. And I had to go get my backhoe and pull everything back around in line so I could get a pin back in that thing. But I finally did. And when I got it in there, I didn't grumble. I said, Lord, thank you for another test. I had a day's worth of tests Monday. They started out big and they ended big. Yes, Lori, just a minute. Any of y'all ever have a day like that?
I just wanted to make the comment because it keeps coming to mind that how great
and awesome our God is, that no matter how close we grow to Him and how hard we try to please Him, He's still in all situations. For those who love Him, extends His love, His grace, and His righteousness.
Yeah. And He puts us to the test, doesn't He, Lord? Yes, He does. And it seems like sometimes that, I know some of you must feel just like I do, sometimes you must feel like, man, I've had more than my share of tests today. Well, that's kind of what I felt like Monday. I felt like I'd had my share of tests, I'm telling you, but you know, when I backed off, that when the day was finally over, I backed off and I looked and I thought, Lord, I'm still walking. I'm still upright. I have no broken bones. I have no bruises on my body. My tractor is still running. You know, I was able to grade the road. Everything's running. So I said, Lord, I thank you and praise you for another day, even though the day was definitely full of trials and tests. You know, I just praise Him and thank Him. Because He's going to put us to the test, isn't He? Yes, He is. He's going to put us to the test. Okay, let's go to the next couple of verses. The house of the wicked will perish. Do you want to be wicked? Not unless you want to die early. You know, you wonder why so many people die young. God says you're wicked. The house of the wicked will perish, but the tent of the godly will flourish. Now then, if you're walking in obedience to His Word, studying His Word, teaching your children about His Word, what does He say you will do? You'll flourish. Is that what everybody wants to do? Of course. But we do everything in the world except what the Word of God says to be prosperous and successful. Today you ask the average person, do you want to be prosperous and successful? Absolutely. Well, what are you going to do to get there? Well, I'm going to see to it that my son goes to college. I'm going to make sure he gets a good education. I'm going to see to it that he works for a good company or he goes in business for himself. And then I know he'll be prosperous and successful. No, that's not at all. He didn't hit not one single thing. He might be prosperous and he might be successful if he does it for a little while, but then he may die at 40 years old. That's not prosperous and successful. If you had money and you died at 40. God says, if you'll seek Him and His kingdom first, then all these other things that your heart desire will be added unto you. And since it's written in this book, I know that's the way to make it happen. The house of the wicked will perish, but the tent of the godly will flourish. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Thus, every path that, I don't care if you're godly or you're ungodly, the path you're going to take in life, is it eventually going to end in death? Yes. All of us are going to die. All of us. Now then, it depends on how many times you get off of that path as to how long that life will be. Now, if you get on that path and it's the right path, and you stay in obedience to God's Word, He'll watch over you, protect you, and your house will flourish, and He will promise you with a long, healthy life. In fact, he says in his word several places that if you obey me, even under the law, he said, if you obey me and do everything I tell you to do, I, God, will take all sickness and disease away from you, and there will be no sickness and disease in your house. Now, that's a promise from God. So, if sickness and disease comes upon our house, and it certainly did on my house until I was about 40-something years old, I had many different little sicknesses, not anything major. I never did have to go to a hospital for anything except a test one time I had to do. But, you know, to be in and out of hospitals like some people, you know, I never did have to go there. But I walked in obedience to His Word the best I knew how, but I never learned how to walk in faith till I was in my 40s. When I learned how to walk in faith, that totally changed everything. I totally learned to trust God. But there is a path before each one of us that seems right. Now then, there is a right path and a wrong path. And sometimes those people that think they're on the right path, they're on the wrong path. But they'll take that wrong one, and it'll lead to an early death. It'll lead to an early death. Okay, verse 13 and 14. Laughter can conceal a heavy heart. You know, when people are laughing with a heavy heart, you can, if you're a person of any kind of discretion at all there, or able to discern, you can tell that they may be laughing, but they're not happy. You know, you see people all the time that laugh. They're miserable. You know, just miserable. That's why people go out and drink, and that's why they do all the stupid things they do, because they're miserably unhappy. They're looking for something. They may be laughing, but they're not finding it. And, of course, what they're looking for is God. Laughter can conceal a heavy heart, but when the laughter ends, the grief remains. People that go out and run around, get drunk, think they laugh and think they're having a great time, they wake up the next morning, the problem's still there. And some of them are sick and afflicted, and some of them are women, and they're pregnant because of what they did the night before. You know, and they won't know it for 30 or 40 days. And then they find out they're pregnant, and then, of course, they don't want the baby, and they go out and commit murder to get rid of it. So now then one sin leads to another and to another. And those sins eventually will lead to death for them. Now, backsliders. Do we ever had any backsliders in the church? Have we been backsliders? Some have. Backsliders get what they deserve. Good people receive their reward. Now, a lot of people have said, you know, I've been a backslider. And they have. And some people said, you know, I'll go to church for 6 months or 2 years or 5 years, and then I just backslide for 2 or 3 or 4 years. And then I get under conviction, I go back to church for another 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years. That makes me wonder, did you really know God? Did you really have a clue who the King was? Or are you just going to church? I think that when people go to church for a while, and especially those that go to church at home with their parents till they get into college age, and then they leave, and then they totally leave the church, I have doubts whether those people ever had an experience with the Lord. They don't know Him. They never did know Him. If you really know Him, you ain't never going to backslide. That's going to be something you're not going to do. I mean, that's my own. I've never had a time of backsliding in my whole life. I never backslid from God. I never got out of church. The only time I wasn't in church was when I was in Vietnam, and there wasn't no church to go to. You know, I was over there in the war. But I tried. Now, also, when I went to Egypt, I tried to find a church in Egypt. I was over there 3 months. Couldn't find one. Could not find a Christian church in Egypt. And where I was in Cairo, I forget, 20 or 30 million people. And there was not one single church. Now, the Metroplex has only got, what, 6 million? How many churches is in the Metroplex? Oh, thousands. You're right, thousands. It's absolutely thousands. And today I'm looking, as I'm going to Dallas to look at a building and coming back, I'm looking at the construction, the building that's going on, and I think, you know, somebody told me here a while back that there's 6 million people in the Metroplex. And by the year 2020, you know, which is not very far off, is it? That sounds like an eternity, but it's only 12 years. They said there'll be 20 million people in the Metroplex in 12 more years. That's triple what there is today. 20 million people in 12 more years. Is that a lot of people? Yeah, and it's the whole Metroplex. It's just like right here, a developer was telling us, of course, they're building a town center right over here now, just, I mean, almost stone's throw from us, right across the freeway. They're going to build a complete town center, freeway, airport, alliance, speedway town center over there. And just this road at the back of my place, which just a year ago, that was a little bitty tiny dirt road, not wide enough for one car, much less if two of you come down that road, one of you had to pull off against the fence to let the other one get by. Now then, it's a 24-foot road, beautiful road, and on the other side of it, there's 100-plus new houses just across the road. Now, when that guy tried to sell that 200 acres of land, he wanted to know if I wanted to buy it. And he said, I'll take $2,000 an acre for it. I said, good grief, no, I don't want that. You know. So he finally sold it to some developer for $2,000 an acre. And now then, they've split it up in that 200 acres, they split it up into, by the time they took the streets out, 175 one-acre lots. And they're going to build 175 new homes. And there's already 100, over 100 of them in there. Right across the road from me. And when I come out here, there was not a house anywhere. Not a house anywhere. Now, they're everywhere. And within I forget what Tim told me the other day, I think it was within 10 miles of right here that there are 65,000 new houses and businesses being built in the Metroplex right now. 65,000. That's a lot of houses, you know it? But they're building everywhere. All these people, you know, when I bought this place 25 years ago, I thought, okay, I'm going to go 15 miles further west, and I come out here, and this is in the middle of nowhere.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.